DW Deutsche Welle. Pulse.
Hello there and welcome to this jam-packed edition of Pulse. I'm Eunice Onjiro in Bonn, Germany. In today's program, we meet a young man from northern Nigeria who through his short comedy videos has become a social media star. A disparidade é enorme, vivemos presos nessa armadilha, condenados a ser bravos. Esse país não vai banar. Angolan rapper MCK raps against the poor state of affairs in his country, which has gotten him into trouble with the authorities. And you'll also get to hear of the forgotten story of Afro-Italian boxing champion Leone Iacovacci. Stay tuned for this story is coming right here on Pulse. Los Angeles has Hollywood, Lagos Nollywood, and Kaduna has Ali artwork. The young Nigerian developed a new format of short comedy videos which are being widely shared among Nigerian youngsters from the north. Ali artwork tells DW more about his journey from being a casual market worker pushing lorries to a social media star. This report from Abdul Rahim Hassan is voiced by Abubakar Jallo.
Aliyu Muhammad Idris, a.k.a. Ali Artwork, always knew he had a talent for art. It all started with drawing portraits, but he couldn't make a living out of it back then.
I've tried my hands at many different jobs. I've worked sewing clothes, I've pushed lorries at the market. In fact, anything that comes my way, I will do. But then I joined a film editing course because I liked art, and that eventually got me into comedy.
Comedy is where it really took off for him. Now the young man from the northern Nigerian city of Kaduna is a social media star. Nigeria has a huge film industry known as Nollywood, which is located in the southern mega city of Lagos. But the north of the country too produces lots of movies in the local language Hausa. The Kano film industry has nicknamed itself Kaniwood, and it's starting to be able to compete with its bigger brother in the south. Through his social media videos in Hausa, Ali Artwork directly addresses young people. He wants to be seen as a role model for Nigerian youngsters.
In essence, anything that has to do with youth is important because they are the backbone of society. This is why I use my videos to make young people understand that they can do some things for themselves without necessarily waiting for the government to provide jobs for them. In fact, this is my aim. I just want the youth to prosper, and I don't want them to get involved with negative activities like drinking or stealing. I feel sad if I see them doing this. I use comedy to enlighten and entertain people.
With a growing number of youngsters owning smartphones and even a higher number of those visiting social media websites, Ali Artwork has an enormous audience. An audience which likes to share comic situations with their friends as often as they can. Other young comedians are also benefiting from this trend. Little Emanuela and Basket Mouth are two other names being bandied about on the lips of Nigerian youths. Though they can make a decent living from their work, Ali Artwork hopes for more support to enable him to distribute his videos more widely.
I'm hoping to develop a platform where artists could send their clips and then people would pay to download them. There is a company in Lagos that has been collecting my videos and uploading them on their website. It is a company where people are charged based on the number of clicks they make on various videos, and then the owners of each video get a percentage based on the click count. This has really helped me, as now I'm actually earning money from my videos.
Very sorry, sir.
You are very stupid.
Sorry, sir.
Sorry, sir.
Thank you.
When Ali Artwork began, a lot of people thought his work was just nonsense, but he was determined to prove them wrong.
So far, I've made a lot of progress with editing. For example, I won the prize for the best editor in 2016 and also a prize for the best movie trailer at the AMA Awards in Kano. In the area of comedy, I've also won some awards. I got an Entertainment Merit Award during a show organized by Arewa Creative Industry in Kaduna. I was even privileged to meet our president's daughter, Zahra Buhari. Just recently, a bank made me their ambassador. Busy mobile
Deskabane ambassador. Ali at work is using his newfound status to encourage more young people from the north to explore their talents too.
My candid advice to the youth out there is that they really need to work hard to get on in life so they can be independent. I completed primary and secondary school and even got to university, but then I dropped out. Our parents are getting older and we have to help them too. That's why I've done all manner of jobs before finally discovering graphics and then editing, and from that I sidestepped into comedy.
Together with his colleague from Musha, Daria Arewa, meaning Let's Laugh Northern Nigeria, Ali Atwa continues to spread comedy across the screens of Nigerian youth. But he also sees the internet as a chance to get connected with players all over the world, from Kaduna to New York and beyond.
That report was compiled by Abdul Rahim Hassan. Let's now turn to a young man whose apartment was ransacked. He was denied permission to leave the country, and even his fans were beaten up. Angolan rapper MCK has often been in trouble with the authorities. Not because he is a gangster rapper, but because he raps against the deplorable state of affairs in his country. President José Eduardo dos Santos has been ruling in Angola since 1979, and whoever opposes him is in trouble. Adrian Krish met up with the rapper and sent us this report presented by Glory Mushinge.
In other countries, it is an art. In Angola, it is dangerous. Rapper MCK works on his songs in a hidden studio in Luanda. MCK, alias Katrogi Nangalwamba, denounces police violence and poverty. He studied philosophy and uses his songs to express his will for democracy in an authoritarian country.
My dream is that the country changes. I don't want to emigrate. I want to stay here in Angola and work constructively towards the betterment of my country. I would like to have an Angola with happier people and people who are proud to live here.
The rapper grew up in Makalusa slums in Angola's capital, Luanda. Everyone here knows him. He used to sell clothes on the streets and began rapping. The life in the slums influenced his lyrics.
It is really difficult. If you manage to escape from drugs and crime as a 20-year-old, then you are a hero here. But if you believe in yourself and invest in your life, then you can make it. I'm trying to give something back to this neighborhood.
He wants to perform in Luanda together with his friend and rapper, Luati Beraun, who was jailed for 1 year. He was accused of planning a rebellion against the president. Even though the government constantly banned their concerts in the past, they are optimistic this time. They've already found a location.
MCK never gives up. He doesn't even move a centimeter away from his message. He insists on his values. If he didn't do that, he'd definitely have a chance to perform for a larger audience, but he'll not make such a compromise.
But the state is also uncompromising. The concert is banned just before it begins. MCK doesn't give up. He nevertheless wants to make his fans happy, so he spontaneously organizes a rap session in his old neighborhood.
Dignidade e paz no prato, tá todo. Prefiro morrer a tiro do que morrer a fome, irmãos. A disparidade é enorme, vivemos presos nessa armadilha, condenados a ser bravos. Esse é o país do pai banana. Esse é o país do pai banana.
His song, O País do Pai Banana, is a parable about Angola's president Dos Santos, who has been ruling since 1979.
A presidencial atualmente é detentor dos maiores negócios do país.
The president's family controls all the businesses in the country. There is clearly a conflict of interest. This song is about how minority is making a lot of money from the majority of the people who are becoming poorer.
MCK will not put up with that. He refuses to shut up.
Gloria Mushinge with that report by Adrian Krish. As a black boxer in Europe during the 1920s and 30s, you were not just fighting your opponents in the ring, but also racism at pretty much every turn. As the Afro-Italian boxing champion Leone Iacovacci could testify if he was still alive. The story of Leone has been largely forgotten until now. Thanks to the Italian professor Mauro Valeri, the fascinating story of Leone Iacovacci is finally being told. Christopher Livesey reports.
Ecco casa. Prego.
I've come to Rome to meet sociology professor and writer Mauro Valeri.
C'è un artista in casa.
Sì, mia moglie.
Professor Valeri has written several books and many articles about racism in sport and became fascinated with the story of Leone Iacovacci, a mixed-race boxer who defied the odds and became a huge name in an increasingly fascist 1920s Italy.
When he went to train before a fight, people paid to see him. When he arrived in the train station, there were hundreds of people waiting to see him. He was really an idol. A lot of people said he could have gone for the world title.
Valeri says that although Iacovacci was such a huge figure at the time, his contributions to history have been effectively buried. And if it wasn't for some of Valeri's own experiences of racism, they may have stayed that way.
16 years ago, I wasn't there. My wife and son were on a bus. My wife is of Ethiopian origin, so she's rather dark. My son was 5, he's mixed race. He touched this man, and the man pushed him on the floor of the bus and told him, "Negroes, get out of Italy. Long live Il Duce." The problem came a week later when my 5-year-old son said, "Dad, I want to become white." I was already studying racism, but I felt disorientated. So in that moment, I thought the right thing to do was to find some black Italian role models that my son and other kids could identify with. For me, Iacovacci kind of represents this as well. It's not just the story of a black Italian, but it's a story devoted to all black Italian kids who are still considered even today as foreigners, as people who don't have a history in Italy. This is the added meaning of the book I wrote.
Il significato reale del libro che ho scritto.
Iacovacci was born in 1902 to a Congolese mother and an Italian father.
Questo è la fotografia di quando è nato.
This is the photograph of when Leone was born in the Congo. This is the mother and this is the servant, because the mother was a princess, so she had a boy holding an umbrella for her and the baby. This is Leone when he's a bit bigger, but he's dressed as a little sailor. He looks almost as if he's in a boxing stance, you see.
Valeri says that Iacovacci was taken to Italy by his father in 1905, and after living with grandparents for several years, he was then sent to boarding school with his brother Aristide.
After their grandmother dies in 1911, they go to this school in Frascati, but he's constantly running away. Then, when he's 14, he graduates from elementary school and leaves Italy entirely. He goes to Taranto in Puglia, and asked to work aboard an English merchant ship. The story goes that he introduces himself not as an Italian child, but a child from Calcutta. He was absolutely different. There were few black Italians, so it wasn't a positive story. There were a lot of prejudices about black people, so he surely felt out of place in Italy. They take him aboard. For 2 years, he works as a cabin boy. Then, in 1918, he arrives in England and completely changes his identity. He's no longer called Leone Iacovacci, but John Douglas Walker, and he claims he was born in 1900. He does this in order to enlist.
Valeri says that Iacovacci, now known as Walker and pretending to be English, joined the 53rd Battalion, Bedfordshire Regiment, of the British Army and was sent to fight in Russia.
And this regiment, it's funny because he's the only black man here too. It wasn't so easy to find other black men.
After the war, Iacovacci returned to England, still posing as John Douglas Walker.
He recalls that while he was walking one day along the Thames, he's approached by a boxing organiser who asks if he wants to fight because he needs a black man. Back then, it was very popular to put a black against a white fighter to show who was stronger, the black man's brute force or the white man's intelligence. And since the black man had run away with the money, so they say, this organiser sees a black man along the Thames, asks if he wants to fight. He says, I've never boxed before. But no, come, you'll make £5. And it seems he opted to fight for the money. Not only does he win the match, but the whole tournament.
Non solo vince l'incontro, ma vince tutto il torneo.
At that time in England, black boxers weren't allowed to compete for their country. And Valeri says this prompted another change of identity for Iacovacci, that of an African-American called Jack Walker. This allowed him to move to France, where many African-American boxers were making a good living.
He's called to fight in 1922 in Italy against one of the best Italian fighters, Frattini, and comes as Jack Walker, the African-American, against the Italian Frattini. During a round, I think the 10th or 11th, he asks for some water, but the assistant doesn't hear him. He's distracted. Then the assistant hears this shout, "Gimme water!"
Dicevo, dammi l'acqua.
And everyone says, "Who is that speaking Roman?" Then he lets the cat out of the bag. "I'm not Jack Walker. My real name is Leone Iacovacci, and I'm Italian."
Leone Iacovacci, sono italiano.
For the next few years, Iacovacci won just about every match, becoming both the Italian and European middleweight champion. Professor Valeri says that Iacovacci eventually moved back to France, but returned to Italy after the Second World War. He died in Milan in 1983 at the age of 81. With the rise of neo-fascism in Europe, it seems that the story of Leone Iacovacci is as relevant now as it was nearly a century ago. This is Christopher Livesay for DW in Rome, Italy.
And that brings us to the end of this week's edition of Pulse. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook by visiting DW Africa. Many thanks to our studio team, Eliane Giladucci, and our technician, Giad Gheorghi. And thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for another edition of Pulse. I'm Eunice Njiro, wishing you a great week ahead.